So the angels were saying that, O Allah, if you need someone just to worship you, we are here. We are worshiping you and continuously do your tasbih, and we do not do any evil. So in tasbih and taqdis, there is a little difference. In tasbih, it means doing something swiftly or moving quickly. So the angels implement the commands of Allah swiftly. They run swiftly to do them. Practically, they run to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do it with action and attitude and show obedience to Allah. So they said, O Allah, we submit to you. In taqdis is attesting and recognizing the greatness of Allah. The angel said, O Allah, we do your tasbih with your praises. So in hamd, as we learned, it has two components. Component of praise and gratitude. So the angel said, O Allah, we are showing gratitude to you that we do your tasbih and we are fulfilling your commands. So the angels even give thanks to Allah for doing tasbih and obeying and consider it an honor. O Allah, you gave us opportunity to obey you. So they say we do it with gratitude. So how is the angels tasbih or glorification? يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتَرُونَ. In Surah Anbiya, Ayah 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how they do tasbih of Allah. They do tasbih of Allah night and day, and they do not tire. And in Surah Tahrim, Ayah 6, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ. They never disobey Allah. مَا أَمَرَهُمْ, whatever they are commanded. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, and they do whatever they are commanded. Such an obedient creation. They are saying, O Allah, we worship you. Why do you need to create this new creation? Remember, the angels didn't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they are pure from this type of behavior. They just wanted to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in this. And they were asking, as a person asks, to understand. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can put this in inverted commas so you don't get confused who said this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't know why I am creating man. You don't know its wisdom. We will learn the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in later ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already had angels to do his praises and to sanctify him. Then what was the need of man who would make corruption in the earth, spill blood? What do you think? There are some points to consider. First of all, do the angels have an ability to do bad or evil? No, they are innocent and they are programmed to only do good. They do not do any evil. They always obey the commands of Allah. They are constantly doing tasbih of Allah at all times. No matter what task they are doing, their tasbih is ongoing. For example, the angel of death, angel of clouds, or angel of winds, they are all doing their work and doing tasbih of Allah at the same time. So they are only programmed to do good. Then there is another creation, to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave choice to. A choice to do tasbih or not. To obey Allah or not. Whether to walk straight or not. He is left with an option to choose with free will. When with his own will and free choice, he turns to Allah. Despite having an option to go towards bad and sins, he submits to Allah. Instead of using his or her tongue wrongfully, he chooses to do dhikr of Allah instead. Man has choice to disobey the commands of Allah and walk upon them, but he chooses to walk upon the path of Allah from his own free will. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is that this man who has the ability to choose and has free will to do what he wants, and Allah has given this ability to man himself, the man chooses to turn to Allah and submit to him completely with his free will. Then for this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values his giving up his own free will and submitting to the will of Allah in everything, and decides to walk as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to walk in life. Then for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have more love and appreciate. Now for this person is Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this person strength, skill, and had many chances where he had the option to do either good or bad, but with his free will, left the way of the evil and chose the path of the goodness. He had the chance to either displease Allah or to please him. He had the choice and chance to walk upon the way of Shaytan or upon the way of Allah, but he chose the way of Allah. Angels are doing tasbih continuously, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just want man to leave and go to the jungles and live in isolation and just do tasbih. Man has to show why living in this world among people with so many temptations that he chooses to turn to Allah with his own choice. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That is why man gets this high status. So we cannot say we should start living in isolation to do tasbih of Allah day and night. Angels are already doing it. But we have to use our intellect and understanding and free will to choose the way of Allah. The second point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that mankind he created, among them will be those who spread corruption and those who shed blood. But among them will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among them will be Dawood alayhi salam. Among them will be Suleiman alayhi salam. Among them will be Nuh alayhi salam. And in them will be Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Among them will be Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And there will be Salman Farsi, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. There will also be Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, the Pharaoh, and Nimrud. But there will be those who are Musa, Ibrahim, or Ismail alayhi salam. Subhanallah, those who are willing to sacrifice anything for the sake of Allah with their free choice and will. If we look at a cavern filled with coal, it has a lot of coal, but in it are also diamonds. Because of the diamonds, the coal is tolerated. There is more of coal, but the gems are also in these caverns. the same for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows there will be those who are obedient, awliya Allah, the pious. There will be muttaqeen, among them will be shuhada, the righteous, the pious, the abid, zahid, and ones who fear Allah and shed tears remembering Him. There will be among them who are like these. There will be those who will say, Labbaik, here we are, upon the call of the Prophet, ones who obey the commands of Allah. While the angels do not face things like a man has to face, there are no temptations trying to pull them away from the obedience of Allah, nor they have certain difficult conditions as faced by believers. They do not have to face taunts and other negative repercussions. They do not have to face things as such. For man, there is death, times of sadness, times of happiness, ups and downs of life, problems of earning livelihood. There is sickness, health, problems of children. Angels do not endure anything like this. So now, mankind, show your mettle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who walks upon His path despite all the challenges and hurdles. How beloved will they be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, angels of day come in the morning and leave at the time of Asr. Then, at that time, angels of night come and leave in the morning. So those who come and those who leave, when they find the person praying Fajr and Asr, so these two shifts of angels, the one shift coming in Fajr and returning at Asr, and the second shift coming at time of Asr and returning at Fajr. This changing of shift, when these angels meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they go back to Him at the end of their respective shift, they are asked by Allah, how did you find this person? Both say, when we went to the said person, we found him in Salah. And when we left him, we found him with Salah again. Then this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about, I know and you do not know. I know better. So the angels are sent to witness the actions of man. The deeds of the day are presented to Allah before night, and the deeds of night are presented before Allah before the morning. This person had the choice, but he is standing in prayer for me. When the angels returned, they were in prayer. And when they go back to the person, they are in prayer again. Do we know how much Allah values a person's ibadah and their walking upon the straight path? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this person. Third thing, for وَيَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, the way mankind can understand the attributes of Allah, angels cannot recognize in the same manner. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, how He gives life and He gives death, how He causes sickness, how He cures, how He constricts the provisions of a person, and how He enlarges it. All these attributes of Allah can be better understood by man, and He can cause people to fall asleep. He can wake them up. How they feel sadness, grief, and how He, Allah, removes grief and sadness. So when the man understands attributes of Allah, angels cannot truly understand. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I know better. He truly knows better. Besides from what Allah has told us, we do not have the knowledge why else He created man. Only Allah knows of His wisdom. Allahu A'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave mankind a big status, made him a khalifa, a deputy, because Allah doesn't convey His matters directly to all of mankind. Allah does wahi to the chosen from the mankind, and He gave the man the status of khalifa. Now we learn about the big favor of Allah upon mankind. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And He taught Adam all the names. First of all, who taught Adam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the names He taught Adam? Whatever is in the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him about that. Taught him their names, taught him their qualities and properties. Everything living and non-living. Names of all categories of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced them and taught their names to Adam alayhi salam. Here Adam alayhi salam was created and taught the names. We learn about the details about the creation of Adam from what is mentioned in different surahs of the Quran. So after the conversation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels, here it goes directly to the teaching of Adam of names of everything. So his knowledge, which is power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to Adam alayhi salam. And because of this knowledge, all mankind has an ability to explain things. Because of the knowledge of things given to Adam alayhi salam. Because if Adam alayhi salam was not taught names of things, man would not be able to explain, for example, what is a mountain, what is a sea, or a tree. It would have become very difficult if he tried to tell others about something. He would have to bring the person to those things, so they know what the person is trying to tell them. If this ability to explain was not there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught terms of all things and gave him a basic knowledge, such as a vocabulary of specific sciences. For example, if one hears two doctors conversing about an illness, and they use their medical terminology to explain to each other or names of certain medications. Because all the knowledge is built upon certain basic knowledge, vocabulary or terms that were taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam all types of sciences. So today's inventions all have their base upon what was taught to Adam alayhi salam. As a seed of a certain tree contains the history of the tree, but one cannot see the fruit nor its kind of leaves in the seed. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam names of all things. Today, all discoveries are made of things Adam alayhi salam was familiarized with. Even the angels did not have the knowledge of all those things. Things that were in the earth. Today, what we call knowledge about the world, name of all things in this world and their properties. This is knowledge about this world. This includes science and mathematics. So what do we learn? Knowledge of science is not bad. When one starts gaining knowledge of Deen, starts to think that gaining knowledge of sciences and other matters should not be done and should stay away from them. No. What is important to know is that knowledge of these things alone is incomplete if there is no understanding of Deen to complement it. The knowledge of this world was the first type of knowledge given to Adam alayhi salam. Sciences is a name for discoveries made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. So he taught Adam names and properties and its laws. As the law of water, wind, the scientists did not make those laws, but are only discovered by man. So gaining knowledge is not prohibited, but should gain with knowledge of Deen. We cannot be rigid and say only the knowledge of Deen and that's it, and call the knowledge of sciences and other things about the world bad. If that knowledge was bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given it to Adam alayhi salam. When one gains worldly knowledge in light of the knowledge of Deen, then we see that even that knowledge takes you and connects you to Allah. Because today they are divided into different boxes, per se, called secular and religious knowledge. While they should go hand in hand, we have divided these into university or madrasa. So one can either go to a college or university or a madrasa, while it should have been one joined together. In the Quran, we learn about so many different creations of Allah. We learn about mountains, seas, vegetations, and history. This is all knowledge of the world, not about heavens nor deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to deal with things of this world. We have totally gone towards either madrasa or university and do not even know the alif ba ta about deen. Because of this, when a person becomes a scholar of deen, he is unable to understand the economic system of the world. And if anyone only with the knowledge of deen, someone with the mental issues is looked at, they resort to unconventional treatments and they treat them as one possessed with jinn, while they should be treated for psychological disorders. Also, the knowledge of worldly education is blind without the knowledge of deen and religion. Even if only one has the knowledge of deen and not the world, even then that is incomplete. How can we give the world an Islamic model? For example, an Islamic economic model, if not familiar with the economic model or banking system. If we do not both deen and sciences or worldly knowledge should be studied together. They should be taught together. For example, if medicine is taught, it should be taught with an Islamic perspective, with the knowledge of deen. We need to gain knowledge of both types of learning today. Cannot be totally towards one side and neglect the other type of knowledge. Cannot be that so into secular knowledge alone that do not even have basic knowledge of deen. People take pride in going to Harvard and Princeton while having no knowledge of religion. This produces only a materialistic individual and cannot become a slave of Allah, but only the slave of materialism, because they were only taught one type of knowledge. Long ago, people used to be scholars of deen, ulama, and scientists at the same time. People were intellectuals and imams at the same time. They were businessmen and mufti at the same time. This is how Islam spread across the globe. When they went for trading, they spread Islam and they had the knowledge of deen. If they were like businessmen of today, what deen would they have spread? Today in modern age, we have separated both types of knowledge and we are paying for it. We put a person in one box or the other. Either call one a mullah or a big successful businessman. We have assigned names to groups of people. If we see someone with a beard, we look down upon them, give them one name. And if one without beard, we consider them successful in this world. Until both are not together, our knowledge cannot be complete. If we learn both, only then we can represent Islam in its true nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam knowledge of this world because he had to live in this world. Teaching Asma doesn't mean saying this is a tree, but knowledge with introduction, its properties, knowledge of everything about them. ثم أعرضهم على الملائكة, then presented them upon the angels. What did Allah present to the angels? Hum refers to the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented them or showed them whatever it was from the creations or other things. فَقَالَ, then he said, who said this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you put this in brackets, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَٰؤُلَاءِ, inform me with the names of these, indicating that they were in front of them. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. Truthful about what? If you are truthful, then inform me. This is referring to the angels saying, O Allah, we do your tasbih and do your takdis, and this new creation will only spread corruption and shed blood. So tell me the names if you are truthful. Qalu, they said, the angels, Subhanaka la ilma lana, glory to you, we do not have any knowledge. Illa ma 'allamtana, except what you taught us. Innaka antal 'alimul hakim, indeed you alone are the most knowing, the most wise. In this phrase there is innaka, indeed you, and anta, only you. Indeed you, only you. Here we can see that you is used for emphasis for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they emphasize to Allah that, O Allah, indeed you and only you are the one with all the knowledge and one with all the wisdom. We do not have any knowledge except what you taught us. We only know about that. Subhanallah. The angels proved their statement that وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, we praise you and sanctify you. They began their saying with Subhanaka, glory to you Allah. You alone are free from all defects, all weaknesses. We have no knowledge. We see so much humility from what the angels are saying. We should also say this when we do not know about something. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. O Allah, we do not know anything except what you taught us. Only you are pure. This is an amazing phrase in terms of not having knowledge. From this, we learn that there is no need to feel shame if there is something we do not know about. or do not have knowledge about. Instead of being like some people who attest they know everything. And we see in later ayahs that how Shaitan also had so much pride. Some people try to prove they know everything instead of being truthful about not knowing. There is no need to feel shy or shame if we do not know about any matter. This is the phrase of angels. One who is ignorant thinks he has knowledge of everything. It is important to know that above every one with knowledge or an alim is another one with more knowledge or a bigger alim. The more knowledge one gains, the more one recognizes how little they know and realizes how they lack in knowledge. While one who thinks they know everything is ignorant. He doesn't realize that there are so many oceans of knowledge. The ignorant sits on the edge, thinking he knows everything. If we look at angels, we see they do not hesitate in admitting that they do not know. They didn't make up anything. If we don't know, just we don't know. We can say we can find out and let the other person know. What does it matter if a person says this, that I don't know? There was an alim, a scholar. People came to him from afar due to his popularity of being very knowledgeable. So once people came to him and asked him certain questions about certain matters. After every question, he would say, I do not know. He was such a big imam. They were so fearful of telling people something incorrect. While today, people know little and they give fatwas. Also, the angels did not make it into an ego problem. They admitted to not knowing and praised Allah in the first. So we learn ibadah is not just tasbih or takdis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the names. Ibadah is also gaining knowledge. Today, we think ibadah is limited to certain number of tasbihat or doing wazifas. And then when they are asked to come to the Quran to learn, they make excuses that they cannot take out time for Quran because they have to pray so many nawafil salat. So gaining knowledge of the Quran, what is that? This is also ibadah. Yes, you can do tasbihat as well. But what makes mankind the best of creation that elevates them above ranks of angels? That is knowledge. Otherwise, angels were and still are already doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are truthful, then inform me. Otherwise, what was the relation of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to knowledge? Because seeking knowledge itself is ibadah. Knowledge is power. Now, who taught this knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught it to Adam alayhi salam. As he says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam, as he is the all-knowing. So, if we want knowledge ourselves, we should ask the Al-Aleem, the one most knowing. We should make dua to him for knowledge, whether knowledge of dunya or deen. What do we learn from this? That angels do not know everything, nor did they have knowledge of the ghaib or unseen. Otherwise, they would not have the need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُقْسِدُ فِيهَا. Secondly, they do not have knowledge of everything. Otherwise, they would have the answer. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْكُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. O Adam, tell them the names. This was not to let down the angels, or that the angels were being tested, but his purpose was to show that man, Allah created. If the angels thought that it only had evil in him, this was to show, no, there is also good in him. If he is given certain amount of authority or freedom to choose, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also giving him knowledge that will balance the evil in him. A person has inner good and evil in them, but it is the knowledge that directs them to do good. But those who do not want to gain knowledge, what about them? Whether knowledge of dunya or deen, both are needed, and have to gain both, cannot remain behind in either. Because knowledge takes person to goodness and takes away ignorance. This is why those who have knowledge can understand deen better, as compared to one without any type of knowledge and is ignorant. When we hear stories of certain people beating up kids, this is because if one person is not given a well-rounded knowledge and is only taught one thing, and their mind is not opened up, and they do not gain any other knowledge, then whatever they are taught in any negative way, that's how they teach too. Knowledge opens up minds, whether of dunya or deen. We must strive to learn both. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam to tell the names, so when فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, when he told the names, قَالَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, here we see that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam, he remembered it. We could think that if Allah wanted, he could have taught the angels. So what is significant about teaching to Adam alayhi salam and him telling them? What we see is that the angels do not have the potential to gain certain types of knowledge as Adam alayhi salam had. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave thinking and potential to mankind, angels did not have it. Whatever knowledge the angels have is limited, and the only knowledge they have is of things they have responsibility for, not knowledge of everything. So qala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Didn't I tell you? Tell what? That I know unseen of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Adam over angels. We learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to Adam over angels. Then we learn, as there are ghaib or unseen of heavens, then there are matters of ghaib regarding this world, about which the angels did not know. Even mankind doesn't know about it. A lot of knowledge, so there is ghaib of heavens and ghaib of earth. But the keys of all knowledge, of all the ghaib, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And I know what you disclose and what you conceal. We learn about what they disclosed when they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. This is what they disclosed. And what did they hide? There are two opinions about this. The first is that in their hearts was that, O Allah, we do tasbih and takdis and do so much ibadah, we should have been made khalifa. Why need this man? while he will shed blood? Secondly, what was hidden? Amidst them was Shaitan hiding, as he lived with the angels. So the pride and arrogance that was inside the Shaitan, it was hidden, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about it. So the first opinion is that about the angels saying that we do tasbih and ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, Shaitan was hiding and living among them. So here we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and the angels try to gain the hikmah behind his creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored man due to knowledge. So when angels were asked about names of things, they gave a beautiful response. And in that response is a lesson for us. Then Adam alayhi salam informed them the names. We learned the knowledge of everything is with Allah. And whatever knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give to someone, only that much is given to them. Otherwise, no one can take knowledge from themselves. Regarding the kalima, subhanallah, once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ali and some other companions were sitting together, they said, "We know about la ilaha illallah, but what is the kalima subhanallah?" Then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded and said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this kalima for himself. As angels had said, Subhanaka, in it is magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is attesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being free from all types of imperfections." So regarding the names taught to Adam alayhi salam, even the names of angels, Jibril, Israfil, Mikael, and even other things, when asked, informed them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed such knowledge to Adam alayhi salam. This concludes our lesson for this week. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please listen to the recitation.
كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون